In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
August 5th, 2010. Around lunchtime, the day shift begins for some 33 men at a mine in Chile's Atacama Desert. The miners working deep inside a mountain, excavating for copper, gold, and other minerals, started feeling vibrations. Suddenly, there was a massive explosion, and the passageways of the mine filled up with a gritty dust cloud. The miners were trapped 2,300 feet underground, and emergency officials were unable to communicate with the trapped miners. On August 7th, rescuers face a setback when another cave-in blocks the path they were using to reach the miners. August 22nd, the trapped miners send up a note tied to a probe. The note, written in red ink, it reads, "We are fine in the shelter, the 33 of us." On August 23rd, a second probe reaches the miners. Rescuers are now capable of relaying communications and can send food and water to miners. Before this, the miners survived by sharing small amounts of tuna and mackerel that were in the shelter, along with water. August 24th. Experts from NASA and Chilean Navy submarine experts are called to help address this psychological toll the isolation can take on the miners. August 26th, miners send a video message to their families expressing thanks for the efforts underway to free them. August 29th, each of the trapped miners is given about 20 seconds to speak directly with family members for the first time since the accident. September 9th, 2010. Miners record a new video to show their families a glimpse of what their routines are like. The 3-minute clip shows them in good spirits. October 13th, 2010. The first miner rescued, Florencio Antonio Avalos Silva, 31, reaches the surface at about 12:11 a.m. and the rest of the miners are then rescued shortly after. This is an incredible story of survival. But what's more incredible is how these men were able to be strong in the face of almost certain death. And so when I read the reports of this story, I did my own research. I was curious to see if any of the men ever spoke about how they kept their spirits up in the face of such a life-threatening situation. And here's what I found. CNN reported the following under the headline, "Faith, Even Without Hope." Shift foreman Luis Urzúa was the first person to be heard once verbal contact was made with the miners. His first words were, "We are well and hoping that you will rescue us." Urzúa said he doesn't believe in luck, but he does believe in faith, even when it seems like there is no hope. "The devil couldn't do anything because God was present," he said. Urzúa recounted a time in the mine when one of his colleagues became ill. "The prayers of the other miners," Urzúa said, "healed him. We made a prayer. We prayed in front of him," he said. "The next day, he was better. He was doing better than all of us." That power of prayer stayed with the miners throughout their time underground. "When we prayed, we didn't pray to get rescued. We prayed for the people outside not to abandon us," he said. It was another answered prayer. As I continued my research, I came across the name Jose Enriquez. To my surprise, I found out that he acted as the pastor of the group when they were trapped underground. And he said he helped convert 22 of the 33 men to Christianity. This led me to an article by Bob Walaszewski at PluggedIn.com. It says the following. In order to get a better handle of the spiritual dynamics that were taking place among those trapped miners, I bought the book Miracle in the Mine, written by Pastor Jose Enriquez. With the help of a couple translators, I caught up with Jose earlier this week to chat with him about the faith components that had happened deep, dark down, and in the 5 years since. Now here's a transcript between the Walaszewski. Apparently, while trapped in the mine, you did not experience depression. Loneliness for your family, yes, but not a woe-is-me attitude. Tell me about your emotional state while trapped 2,300 feet underground for 69 days. Enriquez. I felt very calm and okay with what I was going through. I think the Spirit of God was with us and kept us united. I had a good attitude always, every day.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple thousand dollars in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/heartbreak or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/heartbreak.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint or stain project, saving is at the top of your to-do list. Save now with buy one, get one half off select paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot via Visa gift card rebate. Find more Memorial Day deals now at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 5/15 through 5/28.
It must be because I had been in other accidents in other mines. I was calm because I knew that God was with me. Enriquez goes on further to say, from the first day we all knew we were trapped, from the first day we knew we were facing death, there was no escape. On the third day, we knew we would be rescued, and we prayed with a lot of conviction. And so my message to you today is this. There are times in life when the unexpected will happen. Maybe just like Hannah in the Bible, you get married and think you'll live happily ever after. Until the doctor tells that person that they are unable to conceive. Then what? In 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah was in a tough place. A barren wife who was ridiculed and humiliated by others who easily had children. And in her season of difficulty, she prayed until God answered. And I encourage you, we have to remember to remain faithful in prayer during difficult times, because God is our source of strength. And if you are not grounded in prayer, where will you get the strength to endure? It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. This tells us that when God brings afflictions, there is a purpose to it. There is a result that is brought about in a person's life through affliction. When Paul talked about his afflictions, he came to this conclusion in 2 Corinthians 12:10. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so, dear friend, if you are in difficulty, if you are facing tough circumstances, God has not forgotten you. God is still in control. And at times in his faithfulness, he sends afflictions into our lives to strengthen us. In our weakness, the strength of Jesus Christ is magnified.
There will be times when we have to survive the spiritual attacks we come up against. Then there are times when we struggle. We struggle with sin. We struggle with unbelief and doubt. But I want to give you four reasons, more like four illustrations, about why we need to pray for divine protection every day. The first illustration is what I like to call the storms of life. At times in this life, we are like a weary traveler, caught in a fierce storm, and we are in desperate need of refuge under a sturdy roof. We need shelter from the hurricanes of life. We need shelter from the tornadoes of life. We need shelter from the torrential rains of this life. And in Psalm 91, verse 1, we're told that whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Well, dear friends, just as seeking shelter offers respite from the storm, seeking God's protection provides refuge from life's trials. The second illustration to help you understand why we need divine protection is what I'd like to call the armor of God. Think of a brave knight preparing for battle, equipping themselves with armor to face the enemy's attacks. Just as the armor shields the knight, seeking God's protection equips us to stand firm against the enemy's assaults. Number three is the loving parent's care. Consider a child holding their parent's hand while crossing a busy street. The parent's guidance ensures the child's safety. Just as a parent's care safeguards a child, seeking God's protection leads us on paths of righteousness. The final illustration is what I want to call the rock in the wilderness. Imagine a weary traveler finding shade and sustenance beneath the shade of a massive rock in the scorching desert. David said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Just as the rock provides shelter in the wilderness, seeking God's protection offers a firm foundation in life's deserts.
I recently watched a documentary called Earthstorm. And this documentary was showcasing some of nature's most powerful weather phenomena. Now, on the first episode of this documentary, they focused on tornadoes and showed incredible footage about the destructive power that tornadoes have. These acts of nature can leave entire neighborhoods destroyed. Houses would be flattened, cars tossed and flipped over like plastic bags. And of course, on the human side, experiencing tornadoes can be traumatic and like a near-death experience for some people. But you see, as powerful and terrifying as tornadoes are, the program had a segment that focused on storm chasers. These are people who chase tornadoes and attempt to record them and sell the footage to make a living. And I was surprised to hear one of the guys talking about chasing tornadoes and describing it as an adrenaline rush. And he said, I quote, "My passion is to be in violent weather." Now, isn't it interesting that for one person, a tornado could represent damage, destruction, loss of property, and loss of life even? But for another person, that same tornado represents a thrill, an opportunity to make money, and it's a passion for someone. And you see, this left me thinking about what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5. It says, "God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Whether you're a believer or not, you will face storms in life. And the interesting thing about the storms of life is that they have different meanings. They have different dynamics depending on whether you believe in Jesus or not. And here's what I mean. For the believer, here's what the Bible tells you to do when you face the storms of life. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 reads, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." As believers, we're clearly told that when the storms of life do come our way, we are not to be left devastated, discouraged, and terrified. No. The Bible says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because when your faith is tested, it produces something within you. You become a Christian who can persevere through tough times because your faith is strong. It's battle-tested. You become a Christian who can endure difficulty or persecution because of your faith. Now, by contrast, someone who is in the world, when they face a storm, if they don't have God in their lives, they will have no shelter, nowhere to run. Because what happens when their money runs out or when the best doctors or mines can't save them? Where do they turn to? And I don't know about you, but I would rather face a storm with God on my side than to feel as though I'm prepared for anything, all because of material possessions. Now, as a Christian, you may be forgiven to ask, why does God allow storms into our lives, even though we are His children? Notice how I'm saying, why does God allow storms? Meaning, He could just prevent them altogether. But I believe that God uses storms in our lives to do one or maybe more of three things. The first thing that a storm can do is to open your eyes. God's goodness is often recognized during and after a storm. And that's because we never really know how blessed we are until we're going through something. We never really understand how good we have it until trouble comes. And unfortunately, sometimes it takes a storm to recognize the many blessings we have. The second thing a storm can do is to plant our feet and make us stand. Storms can come in such a way that the only option is to stand with God, to stand on His Word, to stand in His presence, to stand on His promises. And the third thing that storms do is that they help us grow. There is most definitely a difference between the believer who has gone through something versus one who hasn't. Talk to someone who really has been down and out, and they will tell you with a passion how good God is. If I was to stand here with Job from the Bible, I'm sure his praise would be different because he's been through things I haven't. I'm sure his prayer would be different from mine because he's faced mountains that I haven't. Storms help you to grow in faith, to grow in maturity, and in so many areas. So remember those three points to a storm. It helps you recognize God's goodness. It helps you to stand with God and on His promises. And finally, it helps you to grow. Another way to look at it is that a storm helps you to recognize God's goodness all throughout your past. It then helps you to stand with God in the present, and it helps you to grow for the future. So let me tell you this. God will never send a storm to destroy you. He will never give you too much to bear, because His Word gives you the promise that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord.
Now, I would like to share a story with you about a man named Jan Balsmud, who was a member of the Norwegian resistance movement that was against the Nazi occupation of Norway. I want to share his story with you because it's one that illustrates the challenges of life. Even though we aren't living in the early 1940s, we do have to fight in this life. And as believers, we are certainly in a war. And so I feel that this man's story of survival, danger, and struggle is very much like our journey in the faith.
When it comes to war, multiple strategic approaches must be brought into account. The same is true with spiritual warfare. It's a battle fought on many fronts. Satan will not only attack you in one area of your life, he will attack you in every possible area of your life he can get his hands on. If he loses to you in one area, you must not put your guard down, because he will just go attack somewhere else. I read one remarkable story of survival during World War II. There was a man named Jan Balsrud, who was a member of the Norwegian resistance movement against the Nazi occupation of Norway. In 1943, Balsrud and a group of fellow resistance fighters were sent on a mission to sabotage German airfields in northern Norway However, their boat was discovered by German forces, and a fierce firefight ensued. Balseret and his comrades were forced to escape into the icy waters, swimming to shore under heavy gunfire. Tragically, Balseret's entire team was captured or killed, and he found himself alone and badly injured in enemy territory. Despite suffering frostbite and losing his toes, Balseret was determined to survive and continued the resistance effort. Over the following weeks, Balseret embarked on an extraordinary journey through the harsh Arctic wilderness, pursued relentlessly by German troops. He faced countless challenges, including avalanches, blizzards, starvation, and encounters with hostile locals. Balseret received assistance from brave Norwegian villagers who risked their lives to shelter and provide him with food and clothing. Their acts of heroism and compassion played a crucial role in his survival. Eventually, after enduring a treacherous trek across mountains and icy rivers, Balseret reached neutral Sweden, where he found safety. For this man, the war was on multiple fronts. He had to fight to live. He had to fight the weather, the open elements. He had to fight the thoughts and emotions of fear within himself. He had to fight so many different battles, and as Christians, we may not be in this kind of battle, but we have to fight and make sure nothing kills our faith in God. We have to fight those thoughts and feelings of anxiety and worry from time to time. And the reality is that Satan is trying to battle for our souls. He wants it all. We are born as natural sinners. Due to the fall, we all have a sinful nature. However, once we meet Christ, we receive a new nature. Satan neither wants us to stay in a fallen state and never know the love of the Lord, or, if we have trusted in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, he wants us to give back into our sinful ways over and over. He wants us to become lukewarm, nominal Christians. The other day, I saw an image of a man who has both an angel and a demon on his shoulder. In this scene, there's an angel on one shoulder and Satan on the other. And as you may have guessed, the angel is trying to get the man to do what is right, while Satan is trying to get the man to do what is wrong. While there is a sense in which Satan is attacking us that way, the war is much deeper than that. He wants our hearts so severed that we do not even know right from wrong. He wants us at a point where we have entirely disregarded right from wrong and no longer have a conscience helping us make godly decisions. Satan wants this to happen in multiple areas of your life. So he rages across your entire life.
You see, I don't think many of us really understand the significance of raising your hands in prayer, raising your hands in surrender, raising your hands in praise. Too many of us don't understand how significant that is. You don't take a spiritual swing at the devil and hope to knock him out. You kneel before God and he will crush the enemy before you. When you kneel before God, he will fight for you. And when it comes to fighting, when it comes to spiritual battles, don't ever underestimate the role of prayer. Don't ever underestimate the advantage that prayer gives you. To be able to call on the authority that's in the name of Jesus, that's a powerful advantage to us as believers. To be able to use God's word in prayer, that's an advantage to us. At the name of Jesus Christ, demons tremble. When you call on the word of God, it is living and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Prayer is so very important to the Christian life. It's important to us. It's important for us. Jesus took time to teach his disciples how to pray. He taught them what to pray for and when to pray. Equally, I admire the willingness of the disciples to have asked to be taught how to pray. You see, they were around Jesus a lot. They saw how often he withdrew from them to go and pray. They saw how seriously Jesus took prayer. It wasn't a game when it came to prayer, and I'm sure the disciples saw this in Jesus. And this is why we too need to understand the power and importance of prayer. It should be a desire for each of us to become prayer warriors. And as prayer warriors, we are to soak everything we love and everything we're associated with in prayer. Think of prayer like an umbrella. When you're fighting those spiritual storms, the umbrella of prayer will cover us. It will cover our families and loved ones. Even through life's battles, through life's highs and lows, through the struggles and hardships, through the mountains and valleys, everything that we go through should be done in prayer. It all should be covered by prayer. You see, going to church, reading the Bible, doing good deeds are necessary for Christian living, but only through the discipline of prayer can we overcome temptations and struggles. Only when we become a prayer warrior can we defeat this unseen enemy that is lurking in the dark, trying to deceive us. Only through prayer can we experience God's power and might. Only then can we experience what it's like to live under the protection of God Almighty. And it's only by this discipline that we can maintain our course and not lose focus on the commands of our King and Lord, Jesus Christ.
Maybe you're in a dry season and you find yourself on unstable ground. Well, saints, where we're limited, the Lord is limitless. Where we see challenges, the Lord sees opportunities. Opportunities for him to demonstrate his love for you. Opportunities for him to demonstrate his might and power to you.
A challenge should not intimidate you. A problem should not frighten you. Because you are not alone. The Bible clearly says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Every challenge is an opportunity for you to watch God fighting for you. Although it may not always be easy, it may not always be enjoyable, but it is necessary if you want to experience the mighty hand of the Lord working. You see, every great act of God almost always started with a problem. So, here's my advice to you. Don't always pray for your problems to go away. Start praying for the Lord to show himself in the midst of your problems. Don't always pray for your challenges to disappear, but start praying for the Lord to empower you to overcome that challenge. I encourage you to begin to see your problems as opportunities. Begin to see the fight before you as an opportunity for you to see God move and act in a mighty way.
Don't ever become disheartened because you're surrounded by water. And what I mean by that is in Matthew 14, when the disciples were in the boat, they had nowhere to go. They were essentially trapped. If you got out the boat, you're worried about drowning. If you're in the boat, you're still slightly worried about sinking or capsizing. So the disciples were surrounded by water. They were bound by water. But here came Jesus, walking on the very thing that threatened the disciples, the very thing that restrained and limited the disciples is what Jesus used to demonstrate his superior power. So don't be discouraged because you're surrounded by water. Don't be frightened because you're surrounded by water. Call out to Jesus, the one who walks on the water. So even if you're battered by the waves of life, you can call on Jesus. People of God, don't be defeated in your heart. Don't feel defeated in your mind. No matter what you face, be anchored and fixed on Jesus. The trial you face may not look like Paul and Silas in prison. It may not be a den of hungry lions. But your situation might seem just as hopeless and just as intimidating. However, when you're in the thick of it, when you have nowhere else to go, don't allow yourself to be moved. Be unshakable in your faith. Be unshakable because you have God's promises to fall back on. Be unshakable because you have the Holy Spirit who will be your strength and your helper. Jesus Christ is the only sure foundation in this cold, ever-changing world. He is our steadfast anchor. Circumstances change. People change. Social norms and public perceptions change. But the Word of God remains true forever. So be unshakable, saints.
Now ask yourself, where's your hope? What's your hope built on? What ground do you stand on?
I want to encourage you to make sure that you are rooted in Jesus Christ. Make sure that you are anchored in the one who died and rose again. Make sure that your hope, your faith, is built on the firm foundation that is the Son of God.
My hope? My hope is in the living and active Word of God. It offers hope for the sick, hope for broken relationships, hope for the sinner, and hope for the struggling believer. The certainty of your hope should be based on the Word of God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what makes it so powerful. More powerful than a two-edged sword. So when in doubt, be grounded in the Word of God.
Take the example of Daniel in the Bible. Although he was thrown into the lion's den, he was unshakable in his faith. He was anchored in Jesus. Look at Paul and Silas, beaten and chained up in a dark prison. But they still found the faith to pray and praise the Lord at midnight. Why? Because they knew that the one whom they were anchored to was greater than their circumstances. They knew that Jesus Christ was greater than those chains. He was greater than any punishment they would face. So even if all the odds are against you, continue to trust in the Lord, and He will raise up a standard against the enemy.
There's one thing to come to terms with in life. It's the reality that life is unpredictable. But here's the thing. I am so grateful for the fact that in this ever-changing life, we have a never-changing God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He doesn't change. He healed thousands of years ago on this earth, and He still heals today. He loved those considered to be unlovable, those considered to be outcasts and rejects, and He still loves those same people today. He spoke the words, "Peace be still," and the storm bowed down. And I believe He can and will speak those very same words in the middle of your storm today. That's why when life happens, you can stand strong in the Lord. Don't allow life's challenges to shake your faith in God. Stand strong in the Lord. Stand and let Him fight your battles. He has promised that the deep waters won't drown us. And when we go through the fire, we will not be burnt. So whether you're in the lion's den today or facing Pharaoh tomorrow, stand strong in your deliverer who is Jesus. We can trust Him. We can rely on Him. We can depend, learn, and stand strong in the Lord. But I'm not saying it will be easy. I'm not saying it won't be tough. But with God, it's possible.
Who do you depend on
when life gets tough? Who do you depend on when you see nothing but trouble and chaos around you? Who do you depend on when you have no strength? Who is it that you depend on when you're faced with circumstances that you can do nothing about? Well, today, people of God, I want to encourage you to depend on God. Depend on a God who has given us wonderful promises in the Bible. Promises that should lift us up when life tries to push us down. Promises that should bring peace to our hearts, even if our external environment is tumultuous. God's promises are what you and I should depend on because God is a faithful God. He's a God who keeps His word because He is truth. Now, I pray that this message will serve as a reminder to each and every believer listening. I want you to know that when you begin to trust in God's promises, you'll realize that you are well taken care of. You will lack for nothing. And for those who may be wondering, what are these promises? Allow me to remind you what the Bible says. In Isaiah 41, verse 13, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you." This is a promise. A promise for those seasons in life when you feel as though you can't get a break. It's a promise that God Almighty will help you. The Lord will come to your aid. He will be your support. He will be your pillar of strength. Isaiah 40, verse 29 says, "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." This is a promise for us to hold on to in times of weakness. God will give strength to the weary. He will help you to stand when times get tough. He will help you to move forward when it looks like you are about to be overwhelmed. In Exodus 14, verse 14, the Bible says, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." This is a promise for us, a promise of safety. God will fight your battles. He will fight our battles, and we need to only hold our peace. And so there's no need to go back and forth trying to fight here and there and everywhere. Instead, let God work on your behalf, because we have a promise that the battle you face belongs to the Lord. The Bible in Philippians 4, verse 19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." This is a promise for provision. If you have a need, God can meet that need. This doesn't mean you will have everything you want, but in Jesus Christ, you will have everything that you can ever need. So I encourage you to get to know God's promises. Get to know them and hold on to His promises.
Most people, in a time of struggling, in a time of despair, or in seasons of trial, they will ask God to rescue them. They'll ask Him to deliver them. But tell me, what happens when you ask God to take this problem or situation away, and He doesn't? What happens when you've told the mountain to move, and it does not move? What now? Well, I'd like to submit to you that during those times, when trouble just won't go away, and when the rain just does not stop, your prayer should actually be, "God, go with me through this storm. Lord, give me the power to face this problem." Look at the three Hebrew boys who were thrown into a fiery furnace. God didn't deliver them from being thrown in the fire, But instead, God was in the fire with them. You see, God didn't deliver Daniel from being thrown in the lion's den. God was right there with him. In all these situations, God was in the storm, he was in the fire, he was right there in the problem with them. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," even though I walk through, take note of that, even though I walk through. This isn't a case of saying, "God, don't let me walk through the valley of the shadow of death," or "God, save me from the valley of the shadow of death." No, it's saying, "But even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The key part is "for you are with me." And I want you to know that God is with you. God is with you in the fire. The Lord is with you in the deep waters. He is with you during the test and during the battle. So should you find yourself in hardship, remember that God is with you. Should you find yourself in the middle of a spiritual battle, God is still with you. So when the mountain won't move, pray for the strength to climb that mountain. When the giant won't move, pray for the power to defeat that giant. When your burdens become too big, then cast your burdens on the Lord. When we are drowning in sorrow and there looks to be no way out, pray for the God of the ages to make possible what is impossible to man. God is with you. If you're in a fight at this moment in time, if you're in a battle, God is with you. And that battle, it belongs to God. Let him fight for you. The only way you'll be able to withstand the fiery furnace, the only way you'll be able to survive the lion's den, is if you come to the understanding that you need to fully surrender. Yes, surrender to Jesus and pray this: "God, if this trial won't go away, then face this trial with me. If I must go through this fire, Father, then go through this fire with me. Be with me, Lord."
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.